I love all the Easter dresses and festive outfits this morning. Our kids are so adorable. It is good to be able to worship with all of you this morning. I remember it was so strange last year when we were pre-recording our services and I had to preach the Easter sermon on Good Friday. And it felt really odd to do that. I'm so grateful to be back together in person. And for those of you joining us online, I'm glad you can be with us live this morning, knowing that God is with us and He will help us endure all that we have had to face in the last year. And who knows what the future will hold, but God is with us this whole time. As we turn to scripture this morning, I'm going to use an interesting psalm, Psalm 22. Many of you know the first verse of that because it is what Jesus cried on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? But even within that psalm, that most despairing of psalms, the end is a promise to what God will do even after death on a cross. This is Psalm 22, 27 to 31. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. Amen. And turning now to the familiar Easter morning story, this told from the Gospel of Matthew. This is Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, the Greek is rejoice. He said, they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you for this word that is revealed from your lips. Lord, we pray that you would pour your Holy Spirit out on it and on our minds and ears and hearts to be able to hear and know and understand the word today. Hey, Lord, awaken our spirits to sit in your presence as we contemplate the power that rolled the stone away. Holy God, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Just 1 week ago, we celebrated Palm Sunday. We waved palm branches and we proclaimed, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," much like was done for Jesus just a week before his crucifixion, as the disciples, the children, all gathered to proclaim his praises. The Pharisees got very upset by this, and they told Jesus to rebuke his disciples for letting them proclaim this, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." You know what Jesus said to them? If they don't cry out, the rocks will cry out. If they don't cry out, the rocks will cry out. Well, just a few days later, the night that Jesus was betrayed, what happens to the disciples, the ones that had been proclaiming Hosanna? They deserted him and fled. So you know what happens when the disciples are silent? The rocks cry out. We see in the Gospel of Matthew not one but two different earthquakes. When the rocks cry out to proclaim something supernatural, something miraculous is happening that is beyond even human contemplation. It is beyond our comprehension, but God is at work with power. And he doesn't just show it to the disciples. He shows it to the whole world. You may remember the first earthquake happens at the crucifixion. In that moment, Jesus cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then he cries out, tetelestai, which means it is finished. It's done. The bill is paid for. It's over. I have accomplished what I came to accomplish. And then Matthew goes on and says, when Jesus had cried out in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and tombs broke open. Can you imagine the power of that scene? It was a crucifixion. They had crucifixions fairly often, but there was something about this one. The skies had gone black for 3 hours. Everybody had a sense that something bigger than themselves was going on. Even all of the Pharisees were on edge. Even the Romans were on edge. Tetelestai, it is finished. And when he cried that out, the earth began to shake. It is just this incredible moment where the whole earth is crying out. The rocks are crying out. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, even in his moment of death. This isn't just a fictional earthquake. Geologists have studied the rocks in that area. They did core samples down by the Dead Sea, and they found a major earthquake around the time of the crucifixion. It's in the rock evidence. They found rubble around that time. They were able to date it somewhere between 30 and 35 AD. This is the earthquake. The earthquake damaged the temple when it went off, so much so that Herod Agrippa, one of the successors to the original Herod, he had plans that we have outside of the Bible. He had plans to repair the temple. He was never able to do that. But we know that it was damaged by this earthquake. It was an earth-shattering moment because the rocks cried out. The Roman guard that was there and watching what happened knew that something supernatural had just happened. They always attributed earthquakes and signs like that, things that were outside of the normal, they always attributed them to the gods. They knew that something was going on. The gods were upset. So here is this centurion watching this all happen. And he says something absolutely blasphemous to the Romans. He doesn't say, this must have been a son of a god. That was they called Tiberius, the Caesar at the time. He was a son of a god. He was considered a son of Augustus, who was a god. That's not what the centurion says. He said he is the son of the God. This centurion suddenly has eyes to see that this earth-shattering moment meant that something bigger than he even knew about had just happened. He knew, even as the disciples had disappeared, he knew that when the rocks cried out, a miracle had happened. But they still didn't understand what it meant. They knew that this was a supernatural thing, but it wasn't until the next earthquake that everyone understood, that everyone began to see that a sea change had happened. The earthquake in the crucifixion scene is called a seismos, and the Greek word for earthquake. The earthquake in the resurrection scene is called a mega seismos. It is a major earthquake. That first one was minor compared to the miracle that happened on Easter Sunday. The whole earth shook as the angel came down and picked up that stone like it was a beach ball and tossed it aside. This was a massive stone. It was taller than me. I mean, that's not saying a whole lot. But taller than me and a foot deep and probably made out of granite, which would have put it at between 2,000 and 3,000 pounds. And this stone was tossed aside like it weighed nothing at all. The angel sat on top of it, and suddenly the Romans have no words anymore. They are stunned, almost a catatonic. They can't even begin to comprehend what's going on. They freeze as though they are dead. They're absolutely speechless. Is it the disciples that come up? No, it's the women. The women have been faithful. They were at the foot of the cross, and now the women again have come to see the tomb. The women, think about that morning. They did not come expecting a miracle. They did not come expecting God to shake the earth. They came to the tomb to grieve. They came to the tomb to take care of Jesus' body. It was finally time to do all the final preparations for his death. Esau Macaulay is one of my favorite authors these days. He's written a book that's incredible, but he also writes for the New York Times, and he wrote an article this weekend. It's on my Facebook page if you wanted to read it. But he says this about this moment. The women did not go to the tomb looking for hope. They were searching for a place to grieve. They wanted to be left alone in despair. The terrifying prospect of Easter is that God called these women to return to the same world that crucified Jesus with a very dangerous gift, hope in the power of God. The unending reservoir of forgiveness and an abundance of love, that would make them seem like fools. Who could believe such a thing? As the women came to the tomb and they saw the angels sitting there, they couldn't believe such a thing. They couldn't believe what was happening. They're stunned by the power that has just transformed their world. They hardly even know how to take it in. Here are these Roman soldiers standing watch. If they fail to do their duty, it's a death sentence. And yet they are paralyzed in fear. And this angel says to the women, "Do not be afraid. The one you are looking for, he is not here. He is risen." Can you imagine that moment, how their brains must have gone back to all of the times that Jesus said the Son of Man will have to die and be raised on the third day, but they didn't get it. In Luke, it says that they had veiled understanding every time Jesus said those words. Suddenly, as the veil in the temple was torn in two, the veil in their minds is torn in two as well. Suddenly, they have a moment of understanding where God reveals himself with power. The angel tells them that he's not here. Go. First, they say, come and see the place where he's lying. Come and see that the tomb is truly empty. This is the tomb that had never had anyone in it. But yet this tomb is empty. I have to tell you one of my favorite jokes about Easter. When I was in Israel in 2008, our tour guide told us this one. He said, you know, Joseph of Arimathea, he's a very rich man, and he was giving Jesus his tomb to use, and that all of his rich friends thought he was crazy. He's like, "Joseph, what are you doing? Why are you giving this tomb away to just, you know, some itinerant preacher?" And Joseph goes, "Don't worry about it. It's only for the weekend." Here is this incredible miracle as Jesus Christ rises from the dead, and even the women hardly even know what to do with that. But come and see, this brand new tomb of Joseph of Arimathea is completely empty. There's no body there. And instantly, these women are given a mandate. This is one of those crazy moments that only God could come up with. Women were not supposed to give testimony. Their testimony in court was only validated if there was another man there to agree with them. They had no standing in court, and yet God chose the least to proclaim the best news on the planet, the news that was so incredible that the whole earth shook and the rocks cried out. Now these women join in with the rocks crying out and proclaim, "He is not here, he is risen." As they turn to go, then they have that moment where they meet Jesus in the flesh. Can you imagine that moment? The last time they had seen him, these are women that saw his body destroyed through horrible beatings, through torture, and through death on a cross. They heard him cry out, "It is finished," and they saw him die. They were part of the group that brought him into the tomb. They knew that that was a dead, lifeless body. And yet, here he stands, alive and full of light and grace. And they immediately collapse at his feet. Just, what would you do if you saw the risen Lord? Of course, they collapsed there. They grabbed onto him and couldn't believe what they were seeing. But Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." How often we are afraid. It's this amazing moment where it says they were afraid yet filled with joy. How often can we be afraid yet filled with joy? And here is the just mind-blowing joy of seeing Jesus Christ in the flesh before them. He also tells them, go, join the rocks crying out, cry out the truth that I am here, I am risen, and I will see the brothers. I will see the disciples in the flesh as well. Tell them to come and meet me. Here is this incredible moment where their whole world is turned upside down. They are given a very dangerous gift, as Macaulay says, hope in the power of God. We live in a world that doesn't know how to hope very well. Especially in the last year, I think of the line in Romans 8 where it says, all of creation groans for the redeeming of the world. We have seen groaning in this past year. We have seen earthquakes. We have seen certainly plague, but we have seen crazy things. I mean, freezing in Texas and volcanoes in Iceland and everything in between. We've seen riots, we've seen mobs and violence after violence after violence. This is a world that knows how to despair, but it does not know how to hope. When we turn away, when the disciples run and flee, even the rocks cry out for the redemption of the world. All of creation is crying out for the redemption of the world. We join in that cry, but we are bold to hope that Jesus Christ, the one who conquered sin and the one who conquered death, rose again from the dead and is risen even today. He is the one who is the Redeemer. He is the one who will deliver us from all of this. Afraid, but full of joy, we are given this message of hope to go and tell others. It is through this gift that we find that it's not just the rocks of the earth that cry out. It is Jesus Christ, the rock and redeemer, who now cries out to us, "Behold, I am risen. Behold, I am coming again. I am with you now, and I will be with you to the end of the age." Brothers and sisters, we are afraid, but we can be filled with the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Holy Spirit. We can stand on the bedrock who is Jesus Christ, the one rock that will never be shaken, and we can cry out with his voice that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. You and I, brothers and sisters, are the sent ones. We are the ones who are now sent to proclaim the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to a broken world that is in desperate need of hope. Let us join together. Let us stand on that rock and cry out to the whole world, "Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed." Let us pray. Holy God, we do thank you and we praise you for your power, for your grace, for your transforming work on the cross, that you have forgiven our sins no matter how bleak they are. Lord, we recommit and commit our days, our lives to you, even in this moment. You, our Lord, our Savior, you are the one who is full of grace, even no matter what we have ever done. You see us and say, today you will be with us, with me in paradise. Lord, even today we can stand in your presence. We can know that you are the one who holds the words of eternal life. Lord God, I pray for all of those in this room and far beyond it who are broken today, who are only seeing despair, who are seeing an earthquake but don't know what it means. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to touch our lives so that we can see your power beyond all the broken power of the world, that we can stand assured on the rock that is Jesus Christ, and that we can cry out with the women from the grave, Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And it is as your dearly beloved children adopted into your family that we can pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.